Welcome to this Brighteon broadcast. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, the free speech network. And today we are joined by one of my favorite people, Dr. Jane Ruby, who has left the Stu Peters Network, and she's on her own doing her own network, her own show, and doing really well with that. She's got a Rumble channel. She's going to be launching on Brighteon soon as well. Dr. Jane Ruby, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, Mike. And I'd have to say you're absolutely one of my favorite people, too. You've been a great supporter and great colleague to work with. So it's really fun to be back with you today. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. And now you're out on your own. You're kind of a free agent, I suppose, in the alt media space, which is, I think everybody should be a free agent. Everybody should do what they want to do. You've got your own show, your channel on Rumble right now, I think is the most prominent place that people can reach you. Go ahead. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you. On Rumble, it's really ramped up very, very quickly over the last couple of months since we started talking about it. And it's been a great beginning. I do a lot of different types of pieces, like that people really seem to enjoy. Like I just started this coffee chat thing about a year and a half ago, and it just has taken off like wildfire. It's of me unplugged, and we have a lot of fun with it. And then, of course, at the end of an interview, we usually do something called After Talk, which is kind of like a, you know, fireside chat with the guest. And
that's been
a lot of fun as well. And I wanted to thank, and I do want to thank Stu Peters for the opportunity 2 years ago, and you know, the rest is history. And here we are today. So lots of great success and going forward with even more.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're happy that you're on Rumble and you're building your following there. And of course, you and everybody in this space is also welcome on Brighteon.com. And you know, there's no shadow banning whatsoever. 100% of the people who follow your channel will get your videos. And also, I understand that you're going to be sharing some of your content with us coming up next month on Brighteon.tv. That's pretty exciting. Tell us about that.
Well, it's really exciting, and it's in great part due to you and your generosity, and I'm honored that you would want me to join the family there. It'll be an all-new show, Mike, starting in mid-April, and it's pretty sure we have the name of it, but I think I'm going to wait till we launch, and it's going to be very exciting. It'll follow the great Ann VanderSteel, who has an incredibly successful show already on Brighteon TV called Right Now with Ann VanderSteel.
Oh, it's a great show.
Yeah, and I follow her, so I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, you know, everybody who's on Brighteon.tv, our editorial staff does articles every day about different shows. I think we cover Ann VanderSteel's show almost every day editorially as well.
It's so a powerhouse, yeah.
Once you launch, you know, give me a heads up and we'll get some editors on it writing about what you're covering and your special guests. I know you have an amazing list of contacts because you've interviewed, what, hundreds of people over the last 2 years, three years?
Probably. Sure, probably. I think one of the first was Dr. David Martin. It was when I was doing a lot of guest hosting on Alex Jones's channel and Owen Schroyer. So that was kind of the kickoff. But yes, a lot of people that are doing great work, Mike, and that have done incredible discoveries, yourself included. You know, the white clot story, couldn't have done that without your analysis of those strange materials that embalmers are pulling out of bodies. So it's
Thank you for that. Couple things I should mention.
Sure.
You probably know this, but we are in the process of acquiring dioxin testing equipment in our lab. So I would love to chat with you about our findings once we start to test groceries for dioxins, which are, my understanding is we're going to find them in everything that comes from animals. It's just a question of how much or how little. That should be interesting.
But yeah.
And you mentioned InfoWars. You've been a guest host there, and I know the InfoWars team, they love you and your work. And a little inside secret is that it's actually the InfoWars tech people that helped us get the software that drives this studio. Can you guys show camera two? Yeah. You see how we have all these different screens running?
Beautiful. Yep.
It was InfoWars people that helped me get this figured out with the VJ software. So, you know, look, we help each other in this space, you know,
Yes, you do. You do. And
It's
Mike, I'll throw out my thanks to them for that technology because, and thanks to Brighteon and your incredible producer, Bob Denny, who's like family with his wife and Bob the plumber
Yeah, they're
and his
awesome.
wife. They're my family now. But anyway, you'll see behind me, I have a mini version of Mike's, the technology that Mike has in that beautiful studio. Thanks to all of you. And that's the beginning of, our my coming over and being on Brighteon TV.
Well, that is so cool. And so now that you are doing 100% your own thing,
Yes.
it's you. You decide what guests, you decide what to say or what not to say. I just want to tell you, as the founder of Brighteon, you're never going to get a text from me that says, "Don't cover this," or "You must cover that." Like, that's never going to happen. So it's all on you. What are you going to do with this power that you have?
Well, interestingly, so speaking of keeping, everything, I am still going to have the Dr. Jane Ruby show. That will be close to an hour show, and that'll be on uploaded to my Brighteon channel that we're just putting together now.
Cool.
So that'll be fun, and those will be longer interviews, things like that. But this show that follows Ann Vandersteel's half hour is also 30 minutes, and it's going to be more of a medical news, what you need to know now to protect yourself. It could be any kind of topic related to all of this, the COVID hoax, the issues of, around prepping and protecting yourself medically,
Oh, yeah.
physically. So it's going to be fun. It'll be a lot faster. And so both shows will be also, they'll be hopefully all over many, many platforms, but they will originate, or at least the new show will originate out of Brighteon TV. So that's what I'm
Wow.
going to do with the new show that's 30 minutes.
That's really exciting. So it's going to be Ann Vandersteel and Dr. Jane Ruby back to back. That's, I mean, what a lineup.
Yeah, Mike, we've been joking around about with Mel K that we're going to create like Mike's Angels. Remember, if you're old enough, those of you out there that are old enough to remember Charlie's Angels, that famous series in the 70s or something,
Yep.
it'll be the tall blonde, Ann Vandersteel in the middle, and the two brunettes on either side. And, maybe with guns, maybe with microphones.
There
We'll
you
be
go.
Mike's Angels. So we're going to
Oh
do some
no, you
fun
give me far
stuff.
too much credit. It's all the credit is to you. And I mean, Ann Vandersteel works so hard. She is dedicated, she's diligent, she's got discipline about what she does to produce that show. It's an amazing show. And Mel K, we love Mel K. Amazing
Love
research,
Mel.
amazing courage, and you as well. So I'm just looking forward to it. It's very exciting. I just want you to know on the back end, we have quite an amazing a team of engineers on multiple continents to troubleshoot any glitches 24/7, even on holidays. We're putting millions more into this. We have a tipping system that's just about ready to launch, so people can tip your show live in real time with actual tips. I mean, real money. Well, I should say real currency, which is fake money, but I mean, you can convert it into dollars and then maybe do something useful with it, like buy gold or whatever you want to do. But anyway, that's all
Thank you.
coming. So it's some exciting times, and we're dedicated to keeping this platform very much active for you and all the other amazing hosts that we have. It's quite an assortment.
Yeah, I'm excited about contributing and being part of it, so.
Well, we're excited to help support you in doing that. Now let's get into some actual topics here today, because you're an expert on so many areas. You keep your feet well grounded in on these big issues of our day, not just COVID, but hospitals. You mentioned to me before we began here that hospitals are on your mind about the deaths that are happening. We had some admissions that the ventilators were murder weapons, and that hospitals were intentionally mislabeling respiratory deaths as COVID deaths to try to push the pandemic. So what's on your mind right now about hospitals?
Well, I don't think it's talked about enough, Mike. I think people need to understand, we need to keep teaching them that, for example, the federal government incentivizes these hospitals at every step along the way. There are, whether you are symptomatic or not, it is a CDC protocol that almost every hospital who takes federal dollars is following. And that is, as I said, even if you're asymptomatic, you get swabbed with a PCR test or you do not get seen. And that begins the sort of, off to the races situation, because almost always these fake PCRs, they run them really high rates of cycles and they come up positive. Then they get a certain kickback. Then you have to be quarantined, you get a diagnosis of COVID, cha-ching. In other words, the money just starts rolling in every step along the way. You're quarantined, you're given drugs that are against your will, like narcotics. Those things depress your respirations. And then lo and behold, you need remdesivir because you have COVID. Right. And then your respirations go down. And my gosh, you need a ventilator. And every step along the way, people don't realize this, but the hospital is getting more and more money, which is why they push forward. So there's a particular hospital in the state of Florida called Sarasota Memorial Hospital. And we're not just picking on them alone, but we are picking on them as the poster child for these hospital killings. And like, when you hang a remdesivir bag over and over again, and people are wheeled out in body bags when they come off of ventilators forced against their will, there is no other word to explain it except murder. Because eventually you got to know that your outcomes are leading to murder, and you keep doing it for a paycheck. It's reprehensible. We went to the press conference in the morning in Venice, Florida, and then we went over to Sarasota Memorial Hospital in the afternoon. So something Ann Vandersteel organized. It was spectacular. Dr. Brian Artis was there, so many other patriots and great speakers. And I signed up to speak in the middle of my speech. And like I told the entire board of directors, your hospital is the poster child for the killing fields that American hospitals have become. And the board chair, Mr. Tram Hudson, interrupted me and he said, "Miss Ruby, you are on dangerous territory." Well, I finished my testimony because it's only 3 minutes and I had about a minute left. I wanted to get everything in because Mike, standing behind me in my mind were all those families who gut-wrenchingly told me about how they were left in the parking lot. They couldn't even be with their loved one, that their loved one died alone, with no one there, no one to hold their hand, no familiar voice in a cold ICU with, you know, beeping and, you know, equipment.
Yeah.
And that's what gave me the courage.
Hold on a second. So who was it that said you're on dangerous ground?
There's the board chairman of the Sarasota Memorial Hospital board. By the way, that board is elected by the community.
Okay.
That's a publicly elected position.
So, you know what would have been a great comeback is when he said, "Miss Ruby, you're on dangerous ground." He could have said, "The only thing more dangerous would be if I were a patient at your hospital."
That's right. If I was not in this boardroom and I was in a hospital room.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like he's saying, "How dare you say that our hospital is killing people when, frankly, every hospital kills people, whether inadvertently or in some cases on purpose." You know, iatrogenic deaths are it's in the hundreds of thousands every year in America. So every hospital is a killing field. I mean, that's where most people die.
Yeah,
is in the hospital.
Right,
so you're not exaggerating.
But they're super incentivized now. And people have to understand that the community is calling out this board, Mike, because they believe that the board is involved in a cover-up. The community demanded an independent third-party investigation of the deaths in that hospital for COVID patients, and the board took it upon themselves to do it themselves. They investigated themselves. And of course, Mike, it came up with a perfect report card. They were A's, A pluses in every department.
Well, yeah, you know, I heard that the U.S. State Department audited all the funding going to Ukraine and everything looked good. It's all there's no bribery and kickbacks happening here. There's no money under the table. It's all good. But when we look at how many people have been actually killed by hospitals with ventilators and remdesivir, but also we have to look at, and I know you know this, the denial of care that could have saved lives. So hospitals refusing to administer ivermectin, for example, or hydroxychloroquine. Do you have any idea what kind of numbers we might be looking at there? I mean, how many people have been killed by hospitals through withholding interventions that could have been life-saving?
Yeah, I think it's time to start gathering those numbers. I don't have specific numbers, but I'm assuming it's probably tens of thousands, maybe in the hundreds of thousands. There's a very famous case. The gentleman's name was Scott Quiner. He was a resident of Minnesota. He went through that whole process, got caught in the hospital. His wife, Annie Quiner, has now become an advocate and an activist. But they finally, with the help, to their credit, of attorney Tom Renz, Stu Peters, Dr. Eric Henson in Texas, and some other great folks, And with all the media attention, they finally got him out of there. They airlifted him to Dr. Varon down there in Houston, who when he saw Mr. Quiner, unfortunately died several days later, but they, at least they got him out. But Mike, when Dr. Varon saw Scott Quiner and examined him, he was blown away by the fact that he was emaciated. He was dehydrated. They didn't even hydrate him with IV fluids. They didn't feed him. They just sent him into multi-organ failure. And of course they gave him the remdesivir that damaged all of his organs, not just his kidneys. And they refused to give him ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. So they knew what they were doing. Mike, I used to be a nursing professor. I taught nursing at the graduate and undergraduate levels. And I can tell you right now, nurses know. They know what they're doing. And those nurses that are staying in the hospitals right now, they have all kinds of excuses. Well, who's going to take care of the patients? I'm sorry. If you all said no on day one, and if you all did it now, you would bring that hospital to its knees. It couldn't function. But by staying in there with whatever excuse you want to give, you are enabling these killing fields. You're enabling right. it.
Well, just remember, about it. Jane, that the hospitals are just as safe as the banks. Right. So there's nothing to worry about.
God, well, that says a lot.
So, yeah, just remember, Janet Yellen says the banks are safe. And I guess the CDC and FDA, everybody says the hospitals are safe. But you and I know that the people who didn't die during all of this COVID are the people who said no to the jabs, to the doctors, to the ventilators. The people who didn't die are those who rejected the lies of the murder system, which is the hospital system. Not to say that hospitals can't help in certain cases. Obviously, trauma and ERs have a role to play in certain kinds of elective surgery. I can understand that. But I'm saying, by and large, they did kill a lot of people, and they went along with what I would call, you know, a COVID holocaust, frankly. What do you think?
Yes, they did. And I'm not sure if the people in these hospitals, including this board chair who told me I was on dangerous territory, or the rest of the board members, or the employees of that and every other hospital that's following these CDC protocols, I'm not sure if they really understand, Mike, but at some point there is going to be justice, whether it's citizen tribunals, whether we resurrect some of the fallen and corrupted judicial system that we are suffering under right now, whatever way it's going to happen. And those people are going to be held accountable one way or the other, and again, lawfully, but they're going to be held accountable.
You think
they're
so?
Going to have to. I do believe it. And I'll be the first to testify as an expert witness against nurses who stayed for a paycheck, because I can educate the court to the fact that there's no way you don't know clearly what you're doing day in and day out.
But it's so hard to prosecute that, because they've killed the best witnesses of all, which are the patients that were abused and murdered. So, you know,
not all of them.
Not all of them. I know. Yeah.
Not all of them. There was a doctor there on Monday in Sarasota named Dr. Stephen Gafanti. I don't know if anybody recognizes his name. He was actually a medical doctor, a primary care doctor, who got caught up in the kidnapping and on a COVID floor. And not only was he mistreated, and he's alive today, Mike, and he testified. And we hugged, because I had done a show on him. I said, oh my gosh, Dr. Gafanti, it's so wonderful to see him alive and well. And this doctor witnessed his roommate also being abused and mistreated and deprived, suffering. Oh my gosh, Mike, it's a heartbreaking story. It's from about a year and a half ago,
but unreal.
He's alive.
You know, and it brings up even a geopolitical question, where there's of course international criticism, justifiably so, of China and their violation of human rights with the Uyghurs and the slave labor and the organ harvesting. But if you want to look at violations of human rights, you don't even have to leave the U.S. borders. You can just go into the hospital systems. Not every hospital, but many hospitals are engaged in exactly the same thing, by the way. They're murdering patients and then they're organ harvesting. Just like in China. And in some cases, and we've documented this, we've had guests talk about this, they kill patients in order to harvest their organs, or they take somebody and they harvest the organs while they're still alive but not conscious. You know, the beating organs. I mean, this happens in America every day, folks, and it happens in the hospitals.
Absolutely. It's the best place for it to happen, Mike. We don't even know if those people who went on a ventilator under this COVID scam in America's hospitals and then ended up in a coroner's bag, we don't know what they were missing when the coroner took them to the funeral parlor to get to meet with the family and make the arrangements.
Right.
They could have been missing some of their organs. They could have, it's a it may be a controversial thing for me to say, but even as a medical professional, I never signed a donor organ or an organ donor card because I saw situations over the years. You know, I do have an extensive amount of hospital practice experience. I saw the rushing of people on a ventilator, the decisions made to pull the plug. Okay, well, if we're going to pull it and you've signed all the paperwork, let's harvest, you know, these organs that your loved one said that they would donate. But the loved one signed it thinking they would donate it after they were dead or immediately there. But they were taking them and they were rushing them off those vents way too soon, or getting the family to make the decision to take them off the ventilators, you know, to pull the plug, so to speak, in the colloquial term.
No, that's too soon. That's not controversial at all. And I'll say publicly the same thing. I do not sign organ donor cards or permission because I know, again, from the guests that I've had, the research I've done, and the articles and so on, that in some cases, again, not every case, but in some hospitals, they do murder patients in order to harvest the organs because the hospital makes so much money on the transplants and then the follow-ups and even on the drugs, the anti-rejection drugs that are sold, that are very high profit drugs. So if you sign an organ donation card, the hospital looks at that and says, oh, wow, we can make a couple million off of this person if only we could harvest their organs. Well, how can we make that happen? So see that they get to work figuring out how to kill you instead of absolutely. Save you.
Yes, absolutely. And they will be incentivized to do that because you don't have any travel time for the organ, right? Because sometimes you have to transport an organ, you know, under certain, you know, sterile conditions and, you know, for cold ice and everything else. I've seen them come off of airlifts. But if you're in a major medical center like a Sarasota Memorial Hospital and you get that organ, if you're a transplant center, you don't, all you have to do is walk it across the hall, so to speak.
Yeah,
so
and try not to drop it.
Yeah. I don't mean to laugh. I mean, you know, comedy is tragedy plus time, but you have to laugh. It's so horrific, Mike, and people don't even know that their loved ones were treated that way. It's just got to stop. And I think if we keep shining a light on it, and this is why it's a focus of mine that's kind of resurrected with the Sarasota Hospital event earlier this week, that I think that the public will just start to join in with us and stop this. It's the only way it's going to stop.
Absolutely. Okay, so I do want to ask you, as one of the last main questions for this, sort of what topics really intrigue you to cover for the rest of the year. But let me just remind people where they can find you right now. You're on rumble.com/drjaneruby. That's the Dr. Correct. Jane Ruby channel on Rumble. You're going to be launching a show on Brighton.tv mid-April. You'll be following Anne Vandersteel, and it'll be a half-hour show. Then you're gonna have your channel up on Brighttown.com at some point as well. So, and then are you on other channels like BitChute and places like that?
Well, I have a team right now that and I publicly talked about it, that after I left the Stu Peters channel and group, like several days later, there were major issues. I feel like it was some kind of an attack from the outside. I don't know where or who. But so there were people that kind of came in to help me, and they're like my guardian angels. They're experts in these areas. They're rebuilding my website. It's going to be new and more exciting. We'll talk about that another time. And they're going to be helping me with getting, you know, syndication and getting these shows up to all these other platforms, especially like people in France write to me all the time and say, we can't get Rumble here in France. Well, you're going to get it on BitChute or Odyssey or Band TV, or how about BrightTeonTV.com? I hope they get that in France.
Yeah, right. But even if they're in France, can't they just get a VPN and they can change their IP to Canada or something and get Rumble that way?
That's a good idea. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly how it works. I think they can.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they can. But it's an extra step for people, you know, and it's an extra cost. Not everybody does that.
Yeah, good point.
You know, hey, I mean, right now, you know, Brighttown.com links are still banned on Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, there's a level of censorship of every platform one way or another. That's why it's so good for people like you, Jane, to be on so many platforms where, you know, if one is down for a day or one gets censored for a while, there are alternatives where people can find your work. I think that's really important.
I do too, Mike. And you asked me, you know, what topics I might be focusing on for the rest of this year. Of course, the hospital issues. The second thing is babies and children. We just had an authorization of the booster, whatever that is, for six-month-old babies. This is incredibly dangerous. There's a reason they're trying to get it in everyone down to babies. And I'll tell you, Mike, a third topic area that I'm going to be pursuing is this notion of the adverse events of special interest. This, you may remember it, this is the 8 pages that came out in the cumulative analysis document by Pfizer that lists hundreds of, it's just run-on side effects. That's not from what was reported before, this came out before the shots were rolled out. And I had a really interesting conversation with Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long, who's a friend and a source for a couple of years, the other day, and she was very suspicious about it as well. And we talked about it, and it got me even more interested, because with Pfizer having a 50% leeway to not declare what's in the shots on any given day, even within a lot number, and added to the fact that, Mike, the booster program, this could be a whole new phase. I'm speculating and postulating that these companies can put anything in there. They could be moving us in terms of what's in there, electronic circuitry, more of other RNA signals that could be telling the bodies to do something different, maybe slow down on the white fibrous clot, you know, construction, maybe construct something else. And who knows? But I think that list, Mike, here's the chilling part, is for what's to come, not for what happened and what was observed.
Wow. Yeah, well, all the top sources that I'm talking to are warning about the next plague. Even CDC, former CDC head, you know, Dr. Redfield, he warned that there's going to be a far worse plague coming. And it looks like it's going to be, I had Dr. Paul Cottrell on, he said it's going to be a combination of HIV and SARS and H5N1 avian flu. And we're hearing a lot about avian flu, and we see the vaccine companies ramping up avian flu vaccines right now. I mean, come on, folks, all the signs are pointing to a giant avian flu plague outbreak. That's
coming. And if you've been priming a few, you know, 100 million people, or what is it, 1 billion estimated to have gotten the shot around the world, but you know, 100 million in the United States, you've damaged their immune systems. They're going to be brewing all kinds of things that will in turn challenge the rest of us who didn't take the shots.
I thought it was over 5 billion globally. Is it
that much?
I mean, those are what the official figures claim, is like 5.5 billion people. It's more than the global, I mean, more than half the population of the world.
It's staggering and it's horrific. And we don't even know. They know. The DOD knows.
Well,
companies know. We don't know.
See, by putting an HIV component into this, they knew they were going to destroy the immune systems. And then if they're going to release the next thing, while these 5+ billion people have their immune systems destroyed, guess what? Now it's a binary weapon. The next one kills the people who took the shot for COVID.
Yes.
What's coming.
And Mike, one interesting thing to close with. In that list of those side effects, those 8 pages that go on and on and on, if you look, there's Marburg. Now, why would a vaccine or anything with an mRNA, you know, substance, why would it give you Marburg, right? Very suspicious. That's why I say it's
payload.
What's to come. Yes, payload.
It's a payload.
And that's what these boosters are. You ought to be deathly afraid and talk to everybody you know, and please keep it out of babies and children, please.
Call them biological cluster bombs. That's what these things are. They have payloads with multiple detonations. But look, obviously, it's going to be a wild year. And you are in the right place at the right time, Dr. Jane Ruby, to have your own show and your own voice and to do whatever you want to do, whatever guests you want, whatever focus you want. We are here to support your show and your effort through our platform, you know, our back end, our technology, and our editorial content as well. So folks, go to rumble.com/drjaneruby. That's Dr. Jane Ruby on Rumble. In addition, watch for the show to be launched on brighttown.tv coming April 17th, I believe. And that will be 5 days a week, half an hour each day, correct?
Correct. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And I really want to thank you, Mike. It is such a joy to be back with the Brighteon family. For those people who may not remember or know, I had a live show on Brighteon TV on Monday nights last year. But due to some other obligations, I had to leave for a while. But I always knew I'd come back. And here I am. And I'm so happy to be back with the Brighteon family and you.
Well, we really welcome you back, Jane. And yeah, from time to time, we have people that change the priorities in their lives and leave the network. And we always wish them well. You know, hey, if you want to come back, let us know. And but then usually when they want to come back, there's no time slot available for them because
I know
it's all booked. Yeah, I know. I'm so happy that you're going to be joining us on Brighteon.tv. And it'll be an exciting time. I look forward to having you back on and maybe joining you from time to time as well. But your guests are going to be amazing. So I can't wait to see what you do.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you as well. And thank all of you for watching and supporting Dr. Ruby, as well as our platform, Brighteon.com and Brighteon.tv. And as always, feel free to repost this interview on other platforms as well. Just give credit to Dr. Jane Ruby. Go support her Rumble channel and get ready for her Brighteon.com channel and Brighteon.tv show as well. And Dr. Ruby, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today. It's always good to talk with you.
My honor, Mike. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a great day and just stand by. Don't hang up. But folks, this is it. This is going to be a wild ride. The plague, the COVID plague was only the warm-up round. What's coming next is going to be even crazier. And that's Dr. Redfield saying that from the CDC. Okay. So buckle up and get ready. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com free speech platform. Use it while we have it. You know, until they keep trying to ban it, but they haven't been able to do it. So we're still here and we're putting out great content to help humanity survive what's coming. Thanks for watching today, everybody. Take care.